Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to our Blog Talk Radio show. It is February 10th, 2019, and this is Sandy. And I am hosting or beginning to host the show today, and we are waiting for our guest today, who is Haley Wells Stroud. She was going to talk about crystal children and crystal healing. She has not called into the show yet, but we have a seer on, and her name is Claudia. She's from Texas, and she is going to talk about the Sirian and Orion children today. So, Claudia, would you like to begin?
Yes, thank you very much. To talk about the Sirian and Orion children. Oh, wow. There's a lot of background information that goes with both groups. The Orion Empire is...
Claudia, can you wait 1 second? There's a bunch of background noise right now.
Okay.
Okay, the Mary's on also, too. Now Mary is on. Okay, you can go ahead, Claudia.
All right. The Orion children are located in the Orion constellation on the home planet or the home world. The Sirian also children are located in the Sirian constellation, Sirius, the dog star constellation, and they're on their home world. They are two different groups. The Orion children are from a reptilian lizard-like group. That's the best way I can describe it. They sort of look like the geckos, lizards. They have, you know, four limbs, a tail, and a face. Two eyes, you know, two mouth and two nose and two ears, but the ears are not protruding. They're more of an inside little aperture or opening on their skull. Excuse me. The Sirian children are more like ape-like. They have very soft brown color, and it's in various shades from light to dark. Color for fur that covers their entire body. They're from an ape-like body form. They also have little tufts of hair, 12 to 18 inches long, about the size of a quarter, hanging from their arms, their trunk of their body, their legs. And that has a significance, but I am not able to discern it at the moment. Anyway, the children, both populations, are very long-lived. So childhood for a Sirian or an Orion child starts at birth and they go 10,000 years easy. The reason is that they live, 1,000 years to one of our years. So they're going to see and learn a lot during their childhood. They are also, Yes.
Okay, I have a couple quick questions about the children, the Sirian and the Orion children. At what point do they reach adolescence and turn into adults? How many Earth years old are they when they make the switch?
Okay, about the same time we do. The time period would be we live and born at birth. And we go from 0 years to 12 to 14 is when we change into, I guess you could say, adolescence. And then around 20, we turn into our adult phase. The difference with the Orion and the Sirian children is that they have a 10,000-year childhood compared to our 10-year childhood. They also, about the year of 12,000 years or so, they turn into adolescents. And then around the year of 20,000 years, they become young adults. It takes them a long time because of the food they eat. Both the Orion and the Sirian people, creatures, whatever you want to call them, entities, eat fruit. Now, one thing has changed on Orion. The Orion children that were born in the last 1,000, 50,000 years were introduced to meat products because the queen of Orion ran out of food to feed her population. So she sent out scouts to bring home anything edible, and that included animals, and in our case, humans. They consider humans an animal, less than even an animal. They consider us stink bugs, something not capable of being considered any intelligence. The Sirian people, they ate some meat products, but not so much. They eat a fruit that is like a combination of a coconut, pineapple, and a kiwi. It has a shell on the outside like the kiwi that's brown and furry, and the inside is like a pineapple. It has that type of texture. Now, this piece of fruit that the Sirians consume has very high quality nutrients. They eat pretty much exclusively this fruit because it keeps them perfectly healthy and it keeps them long lived, so that they live on their planet in communication with the nature of their planet. If they're hungry, they ask the planet, where is food? And the planet will respond to their request and send them a message telepathically to go around that rock, and in that grove you'll see berries. That's how they live. So the children, during their 10... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to ask you, I don't mean to interrupt, but how big are these kids? I mean, they have to eat a truckload of oranges, or can they get by with one or two off? You know, I mean, if they're big, you know, Sandy says that they're really big.
Yes, they are. Both the Sirian and the Orion population, the adults are 300 feet tall. They weigh, I guess you could say, 2,000 pounds a ton in stature. They're very giant to us. They pick us up. That's why they look at us as bugs, as nothing more than unintelligent life form.
Well,
they are so surprised.
I was just going to say, somebody 300 feet tall would have to eat a lot of kiwis, wouldn't they? Unless they have,
yes,
you know, 10-foot diameter kiwis on their home planet or something.
Well, imagine the fruit that they consume is a giant watermelon. And by giant watermelon, it would weigh about 50 pounds and be, I'm going to say 2 to 3 feet long, maybe 4 or 5 feet long. So they can go pick this fruit and eat 4 or 5, and they're satisfied because it's so nutritious. That's why the children are given this fruit. But when the queen of Orion took over or started her reign, she saw that they were running out of their food, their fruit, which is similar to the Sirian fruit. And so she went out, sent scouts out to find other edibles. And they did bring back some of the plants, but it wasn't enough. So they found out by eating or consuming meat products, they were able to sustain themselves. But that by eating meat products, it shortened their lifespan. If you could imagine from 12,000 years to maybe 8,000 years. So it's still a long lifespan, but it's still shortened. Now, the children need this length of time to develop because they do not have vocal cords. The Sirian children can only grunt like an ape, like that. They do not speak, but they have tremendous mental capabilities. They can move objects mentally as easily as we pick up a feather. They can move huge boulders easily. They make their houses out of stones, big giant stones that weigh a couple of tons. They'll create a cave-like structure, and that's the way they live. They sleep on the ground. The Syrian children are taught from birth how to be in complete harmony with the planet they're living on. They talk to their plants. They talk to their earth. That's the best way I can describe it. And the planet talks back to them. Now, they've lived this way for millions, billions of years since they came into creation, into existence. The children are very carefully groomed or educated into how to communicate telepathically with each other. When one Syrian discovers a new thing, the telepathic information is sent out to all of the population, so they all get it at the same instant. That's why they do not lie to each other, because they can't. They can't lie to each other, because when one has one thought, all of the population has access to that thought. And I know that's revolutionary for us to think about, but a lot of children that play together in the classroom or whatever, you'll see some of them with like minds or like interests gather together in a group, and they kind of all know what they're going to be doing. Like first graders who love music will go and gravitate towards the little musical instruments. Ones who love to color will gravitate toward the crayons, the paints, you know, that sort of thing. Same way with humans. I mean, if we have hobbies, we gravitate toward people who have an interest, similar interest in a similar hobby. It's easy to see that. And anyway, going back to, if you are looking at a newborn human, they start at 0 years. Then after they've developed enough to where they can almost crawl or walk, they're 1 year old. Then they get to be 2 year old, 3 year old. But in Sirius, they start out at 1,000 years to get from birth to one-year-old status. Then another 1,000 years passes, and they're up to two-year-old status. It's just slower for them than it is for us. That's why we have such a short lifespan. I mean, 70, 80, 90, 120 years. To them, that's a day, a couple of hours, whereas for us, that's a whole lifetime. So we have a lot to be able to assimilate knowledge, this knowledge, and use it effectively, because our future is now going to be combined with species from other planets. You cannot look at our universe with the billions of stars and planets and not suspect or guess, I bet there's somebody else out there. Yes, there is. And they're all kinds, all types, all made differently, and all have different ways of living. It's going to be a fun adventure, except some of them are not so good. The Orion population has changed because they have changed their diet. Diet affects us also. If we change our diet and go from being meat eaters to vegetarians or vegetable, plant-loving people, Our body changes. It cleans itself out, and it raises our feeling, our awareness, where we become knowledgeable about our environment. Meat-eating people are very, I guess you could say, locked into a certain lifestyle that limits them in their ability to communicate with others. One of the things is back in World War II, or when husband and wives are in war, a country that's at war, they kind of have a secret communication mentally. Like a wife will know if a husband who is out in the front is wounded or hurt. She will instantly know it. It surpasses time and distance. So here is one of the things that we have awareness of, because people have told us of experiences they've had. So here is how life is introduced to Orion children. They're the same time scale of 1 year is 1,000 years, 2 years is 2,000 years, on up until they get to around 12 to 14,000 years, and that transits from babyhood or childhood into adolescence. And then at about 20 to 27,000 years, they're young adults. But they are very well protected and educated by the parents, because they also do not speak, but they also have mental telepathy. The one thing that is different between the Syrian population and the Orion population is that Syrian people communicate with their planet and the nature of the environment they're living in. They have intimate communication with plants. The Orion population went the other way. They developed technology and learned how to change and alter their food source, just like we now eat genetically manipulated organisms called vegetables, plants, meat. Everything has changed in the last 50 years from what it was before in the 30s and 40s to what it is now in the year 2019. Our food has changed, and yes, our bodies are changing. We're losing some of our capabilities and our awareness of our environment. Today, most people do not care about the environment. That's why we have pollution, chemtrails, polluted water, genetically changed food products. We are changing ourselves, but we're going towards more technology, just like the Orions. And as we go through more technology, we introduce this to our children through the educational system. This is the one part that is training or forming human beings into, I'm going to say, robots. I mean, we all know where we're going to be Monday morning at 8 o'clock, either at work or in school, unless you have another means of sustaining yourself. The children are learning from their adult parents. They observe us and watch us and see how we handle different situations. Sometimes this is reflected in play on the playground with other groups of children. Some children are very sensitive and cannot handle the rough vibrations of our present lifestyle. Earth children have a lot to deal with, more so than adults who grew up in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. But there was a change as we grew up. Things that were considered no-no are okay now. You sit here and you look at the current movies, the music, it has both tremendously disturbing music, and then we have some music that is absolutely celestial. It's so beautiful. It takes us to another plane of peace and calm. And we have literature that's good and inspiring and uplifting, and we have literature that is very destructive and it makes us depressed. Sometimes you can listen to the news. Sometimes you can hear stories about what the government is doing. All of these things all connect together to make our environment. Right now, some parents are really homeschooling their children to take them away from a very upsetting and uninspiring environment in school. Children come to school on many different medications at times, and they're upset and they're angry and they're frustrated because they can't figure this out or learn, or so they give up and they fight or they withdraw. And to see a child withdrawing from the adventure of life is a sad thing. And that's why I support the new presentation and all of its projects that Duane Heppner has instigated. We see children working on planting trees on this planet to help replenish it and change the atmosphere back to what we had before. Right now, in Minnesota, Wisconsin, the north area, they're suffering below zero temperatures in the 30s, even the up to the 50 degrees below zero, 60 degrees below zero. We've never had this before. But look how much our environment has changed. So the new presentation is doing the best it can to help support changing our environment back to what it was before all of this happened. In the 1920s, 1950s, people had very wholesome food, the water was clean, and there weren't any mechanical products dispensing oil-based fumes and pouring it into the water. The water was clear and clean. Until we had ships that used mechanical engines to go back and forth and to capture fish. So here we are with the new presentation, and the simple way we start is to sing a song. And the song is very simple. It's new, you, you, you. And it sounds like new, you, 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 whatever tune you like. And it causes a vibrational change or upliftment in our personal life. You can do this for 15 minutes before going to sleep, and if you have a question about something occurring in your life, ask the question. And there are what is called guides that exist on other planes of vibration, the astral plane, the causal, the mental, the intuitive. All of these planes are accessible by us. But right now, we are so distracted that we don't pay attention to our dreams. The answers that we have, that we need, are given to us immediately. Sometimes we can see it in a conversation we have with a friend. Sometimes a book falls into our hands. All of this information that we need is right here available to us. It just takes a little time and effort to find it. And what a wonderful gift we have to share with you. All I can say is explore. We're known for being curious about life. And don't, never give up that curiosity, because looking behind the green curtain at the man operating the smoke machine and belching fire.
Oh, I'm for door number two, Claudie. Door number two.
There you go.
Well, Claudie, that was just a wonderful introduction. Thank you so much. And I think Mary's on now. Mary, are you there?
Yes. Okay.
Mary. Claudie did a wonderful job of introducing all this for you. And that was great, Claudie, you know, and I learned so much from that. And now Mary's on. So, Mary, since it's your show, do you want to take it away and continue on where Claudie is leaving off?
I can see what I can do here. Can you guys hear me?
Loud and clear.
Hello. Oh, okay. So I'm Mary. I'm a new mom working with the Wonderful Worldwide Educator. Thanks, Claudie, and everyone else who showed up today. Unfortunately, I'm not quite sure where Miss Haley is. She was very excited to come on to the show. We did have a bit of a switch up in the beginning of the month from the 3rd to the 10th. So, again, I'm not sure. Maybe I'll talk to her later, but she runs a group called on Facebook. It's Crystal Children and Crystal Healing, and she shows a lot of crystals on her page, and you know, she has a lot of friends on there. She was homeschooled herself, so I was very interested. She considers herself a crystal child, and that her son, who's 3 years old, he may be a crystal or diamond child. I'm not familiar really with, any of these labels that people are using. I mean, there's many children. There's indigo children, crystal children, diamond children, rainbow children. And apparently, you know, these star children, they're outliers. They're the leading edge You know, they push the boundaries of acceptability that were laid here by, like, you know, previous generations. And eventually, like, what happens is that, you know, these traits that they have, they become normal. So, like, apparently the rainbow children that are coming into existence are you know, they don't have a male or female trait, and they won't, like, stand for it, so they're gender, you know, fluid. I mean, this is, you know, I don't know for sure. This is just, you know, what is being said, and these terms are being used a lot more as, you know, as the years continue here on Earth. But how I see it is all of us have all been children at one time or another, and what happens is we all come in with great knowledge and things that we learned and gifts that we can bring forth here. But unfortunately, nothing is really talked about. I mean, who learns what children are learning about that they could possibly be a star child or a rainbow child or what they're doing in their dreams or on their real side? Where do they learn this, any of it? I mean, what you learn here is how to be very literal and how to go to school and, you know, how to do what it is that they want you to learn. And thinking outside of the box is, like, you know, far and few between. So for me, it was very exciting to have someone like Haley, who was also interested in recognizing that, you know, children really are the future, and we really need to wake up and start paying attention to what the children are doing and what they're thinking and what they see, and help, also helping them besides the literal education and the indoctrination that happens here, but, you know, gear them away from that more so that just like, you know, in the Orion constellation and the Sirian constellation, their nature is to upgrade the children and to pay attention to, you know, what's going on and where they are in their place in creation to make the most of it. And somehow here, you know, people think it's funny to, you know, for example, to make fun, you know, I will put Jalen's or my son's dreams out there, and you have parents, adults, who are supposed to be open-minded and they're homeschooling and they're laughing and they, you know, they're being crude and they're being mean. Like, most people here aren't very open-minded. But it seems as we keep talking and opening ourselves up to more information, is the more that we can evolve here and the more that we recognize that we have such a great potential to just recognize who we really are and move out of all the worlds of creation and just free ourselves from here. And just like Claudie said, you can, you know, sing the new sound and watch your real side or your dreamscapes or your, you know, your real side visions at night and start to put in place what you're seeing and where you're going and what's the difference between, you know, this very small existence to all of the portals and dimensions that you've ever been to. And then just listening to your children talk about their dreams by themselves and asking and reiterating that and allowing them to have those adventures, they may not lose everything that they came here to provide if you continue to do that and support them with that. And while you're doing that with them, and you're listening to your children talk about their dreams and having their adventures, and sometimes they're taking you on adventures that they're having, you become more aware, too, as an adult, and you can start to break down the barriers that you have built here to survive. I mean, this is a very tough existence, you know. There's lots of homeless and, you know, chemtrails and poisons just systems that are in play where it looks like we're really free. But when you really start to look at it, how many choices does everybody have? I mean, you can make whatever choice you want, but as far as the whole of what's existing here, we're all just kind of shuffled into one direction to only do one thing. So I don't know if anybody has anything to comment on Star Children, or if anybody's familiar with it or have had their own rainbow children or consider themselves to be one here. If anybody has insight, I'd be happy to listen. Unless Miss Haley showed up.
Thanks, Mary. The last thing you said was One Direction. That sounds like the mind control program they have with a lot of the teenage kids and the young people listening to that band, One Direction. So that's what they're doing with the kids, like you said. Yeah, I've researched some of the Indigo Children and these sorts of experiences, actually, that people have on the real side. I've read a lot of moms actually have dreams about their children while they're in the belly of the mother. And so the mom is having these real side experiences. And one of them I read, she was watching her son that was had the body developing in her belly there. She was watching him with different dolphins, and she was seeing him painting rainbows and different things like this. So that's where some of the terms come from, and I see that they come from people seeing the aura of these kids. So then someone looked at my aura one time and said it looked like a crystal with like purple and indigo color. So it's just, they're labeling the children with these names because of what they can see. And anyway, that was just something that I wanted to share.
Yeah, this is Henry, and what I see is that kind of what Kelsey said, all these children or beings come into their bodies, and realistically everybody comes here to wake up to their real awareness and real universe as their real being, which is free being of real light. And so they can come in and they can see themselves as, you know, a crystal child or a rainbow child, and however that name comes about. But realistically, some beings come in without their parents like seeing this kind of thing, because their parents aren't aware of it, or they become so literalized because of the environment they're in, they don't see themselves as a rainbow child or crystal child or indigo child. But realistically, they all came here to do the same thing. And once you start to make sense of your life and take the time to see more, and eventually you can have the opportunity to read some of the new books by Dwayne, the great writer, and have real experiences, and you can start to see that every moment is new now, and you can start your adventure of becoming more aware and recognizing your real awareness. And everybody's adventure is slightly different, and everybody can share what they see with others, and we can continually become more aware together until we do recognize who we really is, and that the isness life is, and stand with it and be what it is. And at the same time, with these names of these kids, it's a bit of fun, just because the kids can recognize that they have some kind of a purpose more than what, you know, their family or friends or the environment they're in, those people, more than what they recognize. And so they can kind of, you know, they can show the parents in a way, you know, something more, so that they can wake their parents up, and maybe others that they've met this lifetime too, and so eventually we can have a real position together, or we can all practice universal positioning, and yeah, things can get a lot better. So it's a lot of fun. We've watched a few videos of these about these children and things, so thanks for sharing.
One of the real side experiences from a child in Africa that I read recently, the new friend is Kamundo Freddy. He's in Zimbabwe, Africa, and he's singing New You with his children, and he was singing it to one of his babies in his arms, if I remember right. We have an image written up about it. And when Freddie was singing New You to his child, the child said, oh, just you have to, there's like too much light or something. He said it was a lot of light with the new you, he could see the real light. And it was cool because the child, the baby, could see that, but Freddie got to see that view from his child. So that's how we can listen to the children and their real side experiences when they're singing New You. And I have a new YouTube video up, and that's with Jalen, Mary's daughter, here, where she's sharing some more of her real side experiences with, there's a flower lady that has been appearing to Jalen and having some fun with her and showing her some different worlds. So any of the kids can start to have all sorts of adventures and wonderful experiences, and I'll put them on YouTube if anyone wants to send me any of their kids' wonderful real side experiences, and Henry and I will add some fun images to it, just like we'll do with this show. And it's really cool to have artworks from the kids too. Pierce Fennell in the United Kingdom, his daughter is singing New You. She's probably 10, 11, or 12, and she's created some beautiful artworks. I have a couple of them, and she painted out the New You, and there's some different planets, and it's just really beautiful. So we welcome anything like that too to share with the rest of the world.
I think it's a lot more fun to pay attention to the kids and keep their creative ideas refreshing and just giving them more room to explore. And I see a lot more people homeschooling just for that purpose, so that their kids don't have to feel so restricted. And if we all could just see more like children and, you know, recognize that, you know, none of us really want to be restricted, we would be a lot more free. And a big concept that isn't taught and unfortunately most people don't use at all is just your intuition, is like eating intuitively and I can't really think of anything else, but like eating intuitively instead of like overeating, you know, here it's like it's taught and the food pyramid is basically upside down here. And like, you know, meat is on top and then like fruits and vegetables are on the bottom. And you know, and it says to like eat three times a day. And most kids, you know, they don't really need to eat that much. I mean, they just have these little tiny bodies, but they're conditioned to eat like breakfast, lunch, dinner. And you know, we have a lot, besides of like the genetic, you know, the modified food, we have a lot of, you know, health issues that come along with overeating. And, you know, these things like become addictions when if you intuitively thought about everything that you were doing and you referenced your real side, which is your dreams, these kids would have a lot more, and adults, we would have a lot more foresight. So some things that can be brought up on the real side is, you know, maybe something that you need to introduce to your body so that it can thrive better and you can move better and you're not depressed or you're not having anxieties. And, you know, all this computerized everything. I mean, soon in schools, the kids aren't even going to have books anymore. Everything's just going to be on the computer. And this actually, you know, helps the kids not be able to concentrate. It's just, you know, thinking intuitively would protect your children, and then referencing the real side would also give them a great advantage to, you know, not step in the pit holes of life. They would be able to walk around it and find a creative solution to doing something better here.
Hi, Mary. This is Dean Val from Huntington Beach, and along those same lines of intuitiveness. And I'm just thinking of another example here, how the Native Americans raised their kids before the white men came in. And they taught their children to be observant and to listen, to read body language of both animals and humans, and really pay attention to the environment that they live in because it really meant their survival. And we've gotten so far away from real survival these days with the literal education that's being provided for kids. And these kids were, I'd say they were the, we're talking about indigo kids and rainbow. Well, these kids were the, you know, natural kids, the kids raised with the Native American peoples that really paid attention to their environment. They were natural. They were, like you say, the food and the intuition, and well, they didn't have a schedule. I'm just generalizing here. Each tribe was different, but they didn't have a schedule of like mileposts and milestones, when you're supposed to walk or when you're supposed to your first smile or when you can run or get up on a horse. It was dependent on each child, each individual child, who they thought of as basically a little being that was following them around, and just like a little duck following their parents around. You know, they didn't have a schoolroom and classes and structured education. The kids would just follow the adults around and watch them and really pay attention to what the adults are doing. And in that way, they'd pick up the skills and abilities that they would need in the future to survive in their environment. So it was not based on somebody else's thinking or considerations. It was centered around the child themselves. And the child would pretty much forge their way through. And this brings also the, there's an element of risk too. We talk sometimes about risk takers. Well, the Indians would, they would sometimes put their kids into what you might say dangerous situations, just to see what they do and just to test their abilities and capacity. I mean, they would, they'd watch them and they'd protect them, but it wasn't always like what we have here, you know, safety first. And, it's gotten out of hand where safety, security, and comfort is now a detriment, really, to survival. Well, the Indian kids sometimes were put in a position of real survival, real danger, just so they could practice, you know, staying cool and calm and creative in each situation. So I just wanted to give another example of another set of beings that and how they were raised, and in this particular case, raised with the natural environment in mind.
Thank
you,
Val.
Awesome,
that was great. I was reminded when you started talking about the Native Americans and the connection they have not only with each other but the environment and with animals, I was reminded actually of two stories that I have. And one is I had moved to Fort Myers Beach for the summer, partly because I wanted to walk the beach, and I like walking along the Gulf there. And this is in Florida. And I had just moved in, and I had a very scant refrigerator, meaning I had one thing in the refrigerator, and that was Jarlsberg cheese. And I happened to go out. It was getting around sunset, and I went out on the lanai, and I saw one crow come and light on the railing of the lanai. And I thought, oh, maybe I should just give him a little piece of cheese. So I whacked off a little piece and put it down on the deck, and he immediately picked it up and flew off with it. Okay, mission accomplished, or so I thought. So what happened was the next morning, the sun had not even risen. Now, in my bedroom, I had a huge bay window. It took up almost the whole bedroom. And I'm hearing this knocking, like tap, 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 only times many, maybe 20. And I thought, what the heck is that? So I opened the drapes, and my whole windowsill was lined with crows. I'm not kidding, the whole thing. And I thought, well, word really travels fast. And it kind of reminded me of what Claudia had talked about. Once the Orions or the Sirians know something, they all know it. And I really think this is what happens with the crows and the birds and animals too. And so that Coconut Wireless is really quick. And so I obviously I gave him a little more cheese. I think I had given some bread also by that time I'd gone grocery shopping. And so, okay, the next night when I came home from work, there were so many crows on my deck or my lanai, you couldn't have walked one inch. It was carpeted crows. So again, the food went out, and the next day, same thing. Only the next day, one of the crows decides to come into my condo. Over the high deck door, he hops, and he looked like he was following me to the refrigerator, like, where is she getting this stuff? I'm going to, you know, help myself. And so, Robert, so anyway, I just thought that was kind of curious, and that sort of continued all summer. They got fed every day. About a few weeks later, after I had my first experience with the crows, I worked in the advertising marketing department of the Pink Shell, which was also on the beach. And I had made my lunch that morning, and I had a peanut butter sandwich in my bag, brown paper bag, little one, you know, the size that are for your lunch. And I'm walking along, and this crow comes and lights on the railing by the Pink Shell. And immediately I get this thought from the crow. He said, "What you got in the bag?" Something like that. And I said, "Peanut butter sandwich." I said, "Do you want half?" And so I reached in my bag. I pulled out half of the peanut butter sandwich, and I literally walked over to him. He took it out of my hands and flew away with it. So those are two little instances where you don't need words a lot of the times. There's a communication there. And I know if you live in the north, as a lot of us do right now, and the fall time especially, you will see great flocks of birds in the cornfields or whatever type of field they're gathering leftover seeds or whatever. You will see them all light together, they'll all feed together, and they'll all fly off together. And that used to fascinate me when I was little, like how can they all do that in such rhythm and synchronicity? But I think now we know, or now I know, how that's accomplished. There's so much communication between us and our environment. We should keep this environment better than it is right now. I mean, with the chemtrails and the GMOs they're spraying on our foods and chemicals and everything else, it just isn't natural. It's not the natural environment. We're wrecking it. So we have to move towards healing the planet again. So does anybody else have anything?
This is Claudia in Texas. Oh, go ahead.
All right.
Go ahead.
Hi, this is Tim. It's come to my attention, like Val was talking about survival, that the Fukushima, whatever you call it, radioactive accident, sounds like they're putting something like maybe it's chlorine on the stuff, and it's going into the ocean. And now I'm hearing that the chlorine mixture going into the ocean is making the salt of the ocean fall out of the water to the bottom of the ocean, which is causing whatever it's called, phytoplankton or something that gives the earth our oxygen is all dying. That's why the fish are washing up on the beaches and all of that stuff. They can't get any oxygen. So I see no future in this material realm for the children until the children, it looks like, are going to have to come together like never before on Earth. They have to be given the information, and then they have to act, because it doesn't look like the adults and the powers that be are going to. They've either got to create some kind of robots that'll encapsulate the stuff there at Fukushima, or all this other worldly stuff isn't really important because they won't have oxygen here. It doesn't look like very long in this process, because the chemtrails were bad enough, but now we've got to deal with destruction of our oxygen producing ocean. So somehow, hopefully, the word will get out to the children of the earth that they've got to come together and do something, maybe get help from other races or beings or something, because otherwise the only thing that's important is to for them to learn about the real universes and not be concerned about this psych world stuff, just being able to become aware of this isn't all there is to life, this world. But anyway, whether it's truth or not, that what has been revealed about the Fukushima being about the biggest problem at the present on the earth of what's going on.
Thank you, Tim. Claudia, you had something to say?
Oh, yes. I would like to just comment that, yes, what Tim is saying is very informative for all of us who are seeing things happen to the earth and questioning why, what's happening, what's going on. Just watching the weather news with the temperatures in the northern United States is just astounding that this could happen. And I even had heard one weatherman on the TV say, well, this has never happened before in our recorded history. And it happened because our high winds that circle the North Pole have dropped down into the southern area and are bringing the cold temperatures with them, and which to me is an indication that we've got to get our act together and find out how we can save our planet, because there's nowhere else for us to go. We've got to work here. What's interesting, the children that are being born now, the indigos, the rainbow, the crystal, diamond, all of them have come with certain talents and abilities to help us see things, because they see it first. They see the destruction. They see the amount of help we're going to need to save our planet. And it is vitally important that we figure out how to save our planet. We can do it. We already have the knowledge to do it. It just takes all of us together. So I guess it'd be like us becoming a flock of birds that all together we do it at the same time. I think a lot of the children that get the information in their dreams at night, they're trying to share with the adults, the ones who listen. The other ones kind of laugh and say, oh, that's just a dream, it doesn't count. But the children know. They are already aware of what counts and what doesn't count. I asked my 15-year-old granddaughter, how do her group of friends see things? She said, oh, everything's fake. I said, what? She said, you know, fake. I said, the news? Yes, fake. School? Fake. Everything is not of any substance to them. Although these children that are in school, Some of them are just at the genius level, and they can't share it with others because the others are lagging behind in their awareness. As you go out on the playground and be with the other kids, you get to see little peeks into the other kids' life and see how they're assimilating this information and what they're doing about it. Right now there's one child that started out at 9 planting trees, and they had a poster of he put on the Facebook with his hand over the mouth of a politician that was giving a speech. And in other words, to say, okay, you're just talking. Let's go plant some trees. It's a very simple thing to do. Plant a tree somewhere. Heavens, you can buy a pack of apple seeds for 79 cents at the grocery store when they're trying to get rid of them. You can plant one in wherever you walk in the earth. You are at least doing something to help the earth. The earth is in terrible jeopardy, and it needs our cooperation to save itself. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Claudie. This is Sandy again from Wisconsin. The other day I found a song. It's called Let the World Be Well. The words and music are by Pam Donkin, and I'm just going to sing. It's a short verse here, but there's many verses, and it's, let the world be well. Oh, let the world be well. I will do my part to let the world be well. Hear the sound, hear the call. Let the world be well. In harmony with one and all, let the world be well. Anyway, it goes on, and the next verse is, let the wildlife live. And the third verse is, let the air be clean. And the fourth verse is, let the seas be blue. But there's many more along with that. But I just thought it was so fitting. It was found in the Children's Music Network. And all these children are learning new songs about the environment, about the trees, about the animals. Working in harmony all together. I just thought that was interesting. So excuse the voice, allergies. But anyway, anyone else have anything to say today or add? Now's the time.
Well, I have a comment. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
About the Indigo children, you know, I didn't know too much about them, but when I was like back in the 90s in northern Illinois, one of the interesting things that people commented about the Indigo children was that the teachers and a lot of the public officials were having a real hard time with them. Was because the Indigo children could see through any falsehoods that were presented by the teachers or people in authority. They could see the true intent of people. And so, like, when a teacher would be teaching something in school that went contrary to what was common sense, these kids could see that and sense it. Anybody else heard that about the Indigo children?
I haven't heard that about the Indigo children, but I mean, I just know this about children in general. I mean, children can see through all sorts of facades. It's just, you know, most people don't listen to them, and a lot of their, and you know, they don't have the greatest way to articulate what it is that they're saying sometimes. So, I mean, all children are special, and all children have gifts. And yes, all of these new children with, you know, these star children that are coming in, they have maybe a more heightened awareness from the get-go. But unfortunately, if they're not getting a real education or real guidance, or they aren't being you know, people aren't paying attention to them, they're going to end up just like most of us, where, you know, I'm in my, you know, 30s when I knew about dreams my whole life, and I was always very, very interested in it, but who's teaching it? Who's telling me about it? I mean, you can only get so far, and, you know, all the experiences that if I would have paid attention to along my life span to this point, my awareness would be heightened as if when I was a very young child, you know, where I could just be, or where, you know, when they're teaching about certain things in school, it just, it didn't even make sense. It's like, you know, I mean, I'm not saying that the world is round or flat or whatever, but when you look at a globe, I was like, well, why isn't the water, how's the water stay up there? You know, that was just, you know, there's just things that I didn't understand, and nor did I have an interest in. And what I did have an interest in was one of the things that could have helped me thrive in this existence and help for my survival rate so much more than anything that I have learned up to this point, is paying attention to the real side, is paying attention to your intuition. So, I mean, if anybody can confirm what you said, that would be great. I'm not denying it. It's just we all have the innate ability to see so much more, but here in this physical earth with the rulers and the controls, and you just get so used to doing what you're doing, and I just see children, they're bored and they're restricted and they're confined. You know, drugs are at an all-time high because they don't know what else they're doing. And, you know, I just see real education and real guidance and what we're doing as the best possibility for children and for, you know, the world and for parents alike to really, I mean, money is great or whatever. We need it here, but it's only because we're agreeing that we need it here. And we get so caught, like, you know, it was so conditioned in me with the family that I grew up in and the lack thereof of certain luxuries here, like certain monies, that, you know, it was very important to me to work when I was 16 years old and to get a job and to go to school and to finish college and make tons of money. But, you know, guess what? I'm a nurse and I'm still struggling. You know, I still struggle. I still, you know, it's just like money goes out the window and then what? And then you die and that's it. And it's just, it's silly here. Everything that goes on is silly. And I'm so happy that we're all here and we have a real new homeschool for everyone to come to. And they can meet us on the real side at any time. I know that there's lots of children all over the world who are just so done with all the restrictions that are meeting Dwayne and Eva. And reading the new books is real education. Quality with the galactic education. Real education would teach you that you've lived from this get-go. If you didn't remember that you had a million lives and a million existence here, real education would remind you that you have lived here and being reincarnated millions of lives for you to get past yourself and to learn more about yourself and to become more aware so that you can move out of the world of creation, so you can be the real being of light, the pure real being of light, and stand real and sufficient in real universes that everyone is looking for, that Jesus talks about, that the Bible talks about. It's what everybody's looking for, except no one knows where to find it because the direction here is to keep you down and to keep you not thinking. I'm sorry. Somebody saying something? Yeah. Well, anyways, no, does anybody else have anything to say?
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, you sound like a dumb bitch.
What?
I said you sound like a dumb bitch.
Oh, who is this?
Go ahead.
Okay,
yeah, go ahead.
Sorry
who is
about
this?
That I just kicked a person off. We're not gonna listen to that. It's the area code, Los Angeles area code. So anyway, okay, guys.
Yeah,
well,
so
this is a great show. Yeah. So, go ahead, Mary.
Well, that's just a perfect example of how low and dark this place is, And children, they come in as natural bright lights as they are. And what happens along the way is they turn out to be people like that guy who just jumps on and assumes things. And that's what's going on all over the place. People just walk past people, walk over things, throw their trash, and they're just not thinking about anything. And with real education and real guidance, besides what can just be physically said here from myself, from Kelsey, from Claudie, from reading the new books, but having a real education, which is not just knowing that you've lived here and you've been reincarnated, but it's showing you how to access those lives that you need to recognize, that you even lived before, and those lives that you need to recognize so you can move past all of the memories and the conditions that you've carried yourself with up to this point and become more aware than you ever have before and move past all of this. So you know what? If you want to come back here next time and there's a reason for it, something like Dwayne, like he knows and he remembers coming back into this small, tiny body and has lived this existence all the way up to this point where he has books all over the world. And it's never been about money, but it's been about doing something real and helping everyone recognize, you know, just how wonderful they are and how to access just how wonderful they are and to stop agreeing with all the nonsense here. So, I don't know. Did you want to wrap that up, Sandy?
Ahead, Mary.
I would just want to thank everybody for taking part in our show today, and hopefully we'll see you next time. And thanks again to all of our guests. And do you have, Mary, do you have something to close with?
Yeah. So I'm just going to read a little excerpt from Dwayne, the great writer, and it's first, get the bigger picture. It's more than understandable that each person relates to something new with the experiences they have already had in the past, and many times will not properly research a new opportunity. So they use what they have stored in their mind and memory as a reference. Creative references are not the reality many think they are. Most unaware people think they know something about the life they are in and the life they are living here. But what they know has little or nothing to do with what the whole of life is, no matter what they think they know. When you actually do take the time to get the bigger picture life is, then you will start to see beyond the simulation of creation and into the real universes where there are no authorities, such as gods, angels, politicians, governments, agency, hierarchies, masters, gurus, priests, saviors, and so on. These things and other like them are in a restricting creation, as they are creations that people have created over the course of their many lifetimes in cause-effect creation. Until you get real experiences and real guidance and a real education, then you only know what you know from what is here and what others have told you. The true reality life is endless, real freedom from all restrictions. Creation is a start to something a whole lot bigger and better, but you, the real you, your real awarenesses, must take the time to research and discover this. And it is no overnight process. With that being said, we are the Wonderful Worldwide Educators. We have created the new homeschool. New school homeschool is the first step for individuals and the nation's universal university that eventually leads into a real purpose with the old solar research vessels and to becoming more aware with self-sufficient communities where each individual supports each other. And I guess we can just close with a new you. New you. Claudie, do you want to sing the new you?
Yes, please. New you.
Kelsey and Henry?
New.
Val? Tim?
Do
anybody else like to say the sing the new you? Well, thank you, everybody, for participating in the program today. I just want to remind everybody that when you sing new you, do it 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes at night, and that'll connect you to the real guides who will answer any questions about life that you might have. So, I will say new you, and then I will say goodbye to everybody. And once again, thanks everybody for participating. New you. All right, thank you. Goodbye, everybody.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you, Claude.